Welcome to Winning Mood, short, sharp, strongest super coach and punting advice for the NRL week ahead. I'm Jacob Wynn from the Tripod. He's Tim Moody, the 2021 super coach champion. And we made it, round 25. This is our last episode for the season. Hope you guys have enjoyed it. We've had our ups and downs. It occurred to me, Tim, that you have struggled a little bit in the last few weeks. Well, I struggled for the first few weeks, and it's actually been whether people have either been getting absolute elite super coach advice for the majority of the season from you, and when the weeks where you haven't gone your best, at least we've brought some elite punting advice to the table. So what we need to probably work on if we come back and run it back next season, and please let us know, guys, if you want us to, but the ideal will be that we can both hit our straps at the same time. But yeah, thought about it, how one of us has gone well, the other hasn't gone so well, but at least you can argue we've always brought something good to the table for the followers of Winning Mood.
Nice. Well, look, I actually got some green arrows last week, so it's a little bit of a positive. It was only six rankings I've jumped, but we'll take any wins we can at the moment. It wasn't a massive week last week for anyone, I don't think. Just a lot of underperformers. Most people seem to captain Nico Hines, who didn't go too crash hot. So, yeah, so that was...
And the elephant in the room, mate, new hairdo. Which did you disagree with last week? Had your doubts about the Bulldogs
Sharks
catching the big start against the Sharkies, against old mate Nico with his wet hair. And it was average conditions down in the Shire. Doggies didn't score a point, but still did cover the line. But honestly, you've been trying to bet me to dye hair pink for a couple of weeks now. So I had a feeling
looking for any excuse to get permission to do it where it's like it's not my own choice. It's been forced upon me. So here we are. It's going to be exciting. Look, it's not permanent. So people out there in the world, don't freak out. I've got some juicy things for us this week. It's the last round. Unfortunately, it's the last week of my reign. My crown will be taken off with my head. And someone
else. Yeah, we call you the defending champion. So what, in a week we can't call you that? We can still call you a past champion. No one can ever take that away from you, but you lose the defending or reigning, the crown.
That's right.
Well you'll be even more motivated to get it back. We're going to do a little bit more nostalgic, a little bit more reminiscent, some key moments and our favourite memories of the season. But let's just talk a little bit more around 24. So, punting perspective, we swept all our bets. And you said you had a positive week on the Supercoach front as well. I might just throw your team up. You can talk about what decisions you made, like who you did captain or anything you were tossing at the start and how it went.
I feel like I was only about 50 points above par, but considering I've been really below par for the last few weeks, it's nice to sort of not have had a terrible week. Yeah, so vice-captain Viliami Kiki, it wasn't enough for me to loop. It wouldn't have made sense. And then, everyone, I was going to go Latrell. I was all about going Latrell. It wouldn't have made much difference. It was only, 10 points difference in the scoring. But because my head-to-head opponent in the grand final I had, the only grand final I had for my head-to-head, out of all my 10 leagues I joined, I only made one. But I managed to win that. But he was sort of behind me and was captaining Hines, so I just at the very last second changed it from Latrell to Hines to match him, so it kind of made it impossible for him to sort of really catch up and beat me. So
you won that,
won that, which is nice. Little cashy, yeah. Little won the sort of grand final prize and the sort of highest overall in that group as well. So for 200 investment, got 1500 back, so pretty stoked about that. So that's cool. So let's get on to our fun little options.
Do you want me to throw some topics at you? See what I can remember? You've written it down. What were we going to do? Do you want to do do you give an MVP? Who was the best fantasy or super coach player to have this year?
Yeah, okay. So definitely I reckon Nico Hines, if you jumped on him from the start or if you sort of jumped on him as early as possible, he just seemed to be banging it out and he was very consistent. He sometimes he'd let us down a little bit, but for the most, when he let us down, it's only because we captained him and, we might have copped a lower score than we were expecting. But he's been, an out-and-out surprise and to sort of come from another club, take on a new position. A lot of people doubted him pre-season. Not many people started with him. Mm. Yeah, all the experts and all the podcasters out there were, you know, no, don't do it. Yeah, he was the biggest.
Well, I give you credit because you said not many people saw it coming, but you were onto this very early. You were saying, like, I reckon within the first handful of weeks of the season, you've got to get Nico Hines. So
yeah,
for him to be the most valuable player. And you know what? He's probably going to win the Dally M too. So it's not always that on-field performance crosses over with Supercoach, but that would be my tip. Shame you can't bet on it these days. What about best cheapie? Is there someone that people got? Is it Taylor
May? One stood out for me, which is a surprise, is Max King. Normally, it wouldn't be a forward.
Okay, and you had him from the start too.
Yeah, and most people have. And I've got rid of him recently only because I can't remember who I got. It was just to upgrade someone. It was probably for Feeder or someone like that maybe. But if you had kept him, he's doing – oh, I think it was IPAP I got for yeah, that's because I went late on him. That was one of my mistakes. We'll bring that up later. But, yeah, Max King, you could sort of play him week after week, and he made money. He started at 188K and, you know, got up to I think he went up to 500K, though I could be wrong, but he was definitely in the fours. So, yeah, he was killing it, and it was hard for most people to even think about selling him just because he had the dual flexibility of second row and prop. So he's my cheapie of the year.
How about best individual performance of the year? Could you narrow that down to one?
Yeah, okay. So individual performance, it was Talakai versus Morgan Harper in the first half of that game. That was just crazy. Yeah, it was like 153 points. Then they brought on Cooler to sort of try do something to counteract it, hooked Morgan Harper. And, Talakai was pretty quiet in the second half, and Cooler managed to just sort of chop him and have a real dig. And I think it was just a nightmare for Morgan Harper. He sort of had some pretty good games prior to that and, you know, even after that. So,
that first half was good. I honestly reckon you go back and watch the replay, and what you would find is every time that the Sharks were attacking and gave the ball to Talakai, they scored. Like every time. They only didn't score about two or three times, and that was when the half kicked or they threw a cutout and didn't. If they gave it to Talakai, he either bowled his man over, Morgan Harper, or he had a handful of assists as well. I've never seen anything like it. And, you know, that was the peak. I mean, you can't get better than that. But people probably expected even more. Some people were throwing him, you know, into the Origin arena. He did actually get there in the decider, but he never quite got to those lofty heights. But that was something to behold. But I'm just thinking other amazing performances. Latrell had to, in terms of like the highest score of the season, do you recall?
I'd say Latrell and Manu are really good standouts. So I think they've especially Manu when he was, you know, playing in fullback or 5-8, but even when he's playing in centres, he's still been banging it out. So, and Latrell's been like, you know, not really scoring anything under 90, scoring, like, I think he's averaging like 100. It's just crazy. So,
Latrell, I just mentioned Dally M for Nico Hines, but if Latrell had played this whole season, it would have been him. Now, what about, I don't know exactly how to pose this question, but like, if you look at the people that have had the most successful seasons, is there a crossroads or is there like a best call that they made at some point in the season, a key decision that set them up?
Well, I've actually gone through the guy in first and sort of tried to look at if anything really stood out to me and really jumped out, and nothing really did, and I was just sort of like, well, okay, I think he's just probably just made the right decisions, but nothing really major.
Small decisions each week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, he probably got on it the right week before everyone else a little bit, and then sort of, didn't make too many mistakes, I guess, with a lot of his decisions. But for me, I think the key moves is, as I said before, Nico Hines is a key player of the year, starting with him or getting on him early. Also, I've got people who just biplanned. I think that was a massive way to jump in the ranks and then sort of hold that position pretty much once you sort of...
And you did that. That was where you really started taking off, I remember.
Yeah.
Scoring high in the bye rounds.
I'd say maybe a little bit it hurt me because I went a little bit too aggressive in the back half of biplanning and sort of just jumped on like... I went sort of max... I did three boosts in a row, I think, and then we had... an extra trade also in that buy round. So it meant that I did something like 12 trades or something in 3 weeks. or something. It was just ridiculous. That really chewed into me.
Which left you a bit vulnerable for injuries and stuff.
Yeah, I think in saving trades, people who've been able to save trades, and I thought I saved well, but because I went a little bit crazy towards the back end of it, if you're able to save trades and make moves at the back end, that's where it really counts. And there's so many trades that we all made that we didn't have to make. Just think of the first trade that we all pretty much fell for. Even the guy in first is Peter Hicku, didn't need to be done, and everyone jumped on him. So look, just go back at your trades. You can look at it and identify which ones you didn't need to do. So more than that, people we got on Tarpany late, he just blitzed it compared to any other prop, and you were able to just sort of make about 30 points, 20 points on every other team per round in that position. I've also said IPAP, starting with him early, getting Manu, getting Latrell, and also trusting in Teddy and sort of having him basically for the bulk of the season.
And on the other side of the coin, a big decision that you made that you, sorry to bring it up, but what would be your biggest mistake of the year if you could go back in time?
It's very clear to me. It's just a few key positions in my starting side. So I went with Reid Marnie instead of Grant because Grant wasn't available for the first round. I got a bit greedy, wanted to chase the first, like most points I could get in the first round. I thought I'll just trade it to Reid, to Grant afterwards. And it just didn't eventuate. I held on to Reid Marnie and he just sort of stunk it out for me a bit. And that really cost me in the points. Also, the other two players that I started with, Semi Walker and Keary, had a lot of faith in the Roosters at the start of the season. I got it wrong. They blitzed it at the back end of the season instead. Would have been better starting with Hines and Munster there. They're my big mistakes. I think if I had better grounding from the start, it wouldn't have sent me as a bit wild on different moments throughout the year as well.
And one player, this doesn't have to be for you, but just for Supercoach in general, is the one most disappointing player based on their price tag and expectations this season?
Well, I'm going to say, like, probably not because of his fault, but Tom Trbojevic, just because he, you know, a lot of people paid overs for him and it's affected
their starting sides. Was he over a million? Sides.
Yeah, it was a crazy, I think it was 1 point. Mm. I don't even say that. I'll probably
pretty, and you said in the preseason on the show as well that you wouldn't spend that on him. So, I mean, that advice alone.
Why did?
Did you start with him?
No, I didn't. No, I got him later on and,
Get him later on.
Yeah. So a lot of people fell for it twice. They, you know, started with him, got rid of him, and then got him back in, and then he got injured. So that's a bit disappointing. But also Talakai kind of not being able to sort of, you know, replicate what he did in that half of footy much more was pretty disappointing. And I don't know whether we blame him or blame the Sharks for not sort of making that sort of their thing. I think they could have made that their thing. Maybe they're saving it for the finals. Who knows?
Well, he, you know, had a shoulder injury as well in there, but Jersey caught lightning as well that night. Another centre, Peter just mentioned Staggs.
Yeah, I've got him on the list too.
You were a big believer in him.
Yeah, I've got Staggs and Marnie. They're like my ones particularly. I've held on to Staggs pretty much all year. I've still got him, yeah. So I started now, with him.
Speaking of Peter, who tunes in fairly often.
Regular.
200 clear, you know, cash comp, but one player short. Do you reckon I can hold on? I'm stressing. 200 points should be enough of a buffer.
You got head-to-head
finals. Yeah, now you would know some people play round 24 finals, but some might play round 25.
Yeah, okay. So people pop the question back up. I was getting confused by the fact that they still had the head-to-head. But, yeah, you can probably tweak that to make it so you can. 200 points clear in overall cash, but I'm one player short this week. Oh, overall. Okay. Yeah, yeah, you can hold on for that. That's, you know, the 200 player, that is not one player. You know what I mean? Like if it was 80 points, maybe you'd be a bit nervous. But
come on, I think, to be honest, I think it's a humble brag. But congratulations.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not good at reading through like emojis. I'm not great with emojis.
We'll be cheering for you, Peter. It just has to be really short, Tim. But any advice for this week, Supercoach? Like if anyone else is still, well, there's still people that still want to finish strong in, you know, the final scoring week.
So big outs, Damien Cook, Daniel Tupu, Ezra Mamm, all the Panthers players, basically except for O'Sullivan. They're out. If you've got them, you can get rid of them and sell them. There's no point holding on to them if you've got the trades. Green lights, these are the players I'm really keen on this week. There's quite a few. The Fox, Burton, Walsh, Brimson, Ben Hunt, stunk it up last week, playing his old team. I just think he's got a little bit to play for here. Think he'll have a blinder. Drinkwater and Val Holmes against the weak Panthers, reserve grade Panthers. Ikavalu, I'm keen on him. Also, Ramien. Ramien had a quiet week last week. Think he's due. Talakai and Mulitalo, if you don't have them, I'd probably preference Talakai and Mulitalo over Ramien. But I think Ikavalu might be. I've just got a weird feeling about him. Shout out to Alex from the Supercoach Talk podcast. You mentioned him to me, and now I can't get him out of my mind. Wish I had a trade. And also Rapana. Oh, I really like Rapana. I think he gave a blinder this weekend.
And that does kind of feed into our special doozy winning mood. This is something extra juicy and a couple of options. And we did give you a winner last week, 2 out of 3. We hit the first two legs. We didn't even need to sweat on the final leg there with Amon. I've taken all your tips on board, Tim. In the end, I think I only used 2 of your 4 or 5 you sent me. But I swapped
you
a couple.
With 3 of your own?
Yes, but 2 of the ones I swapped in, I literally took, you gave me 1 winger and I chose the other winger just because the odds were juicier. So let's have a look. But between us, this is pretty juicy. And I should also mention win a jersey if you want by commenting who you think will score the last try in the final regular season game, which is Tigers, Raiders, and comment the minute that you reckon they'll score. Okay, let's bring this up here. So you got 2 options this week. It's a bit more, instead of 2 of 3, it's 5 players and you can back them to score 3 or 4. That is not 3 tries or 4 tries, but that is 3 of them to score or 4 or more of these players to score. And Tim, you can introduce the players.
That's right. So we've got Jakey Carraz. I was on the Fox, but the Carraz is paying much better. Look, I think they're both going to score anyway. I just think the Fox is probably going to score 3. But we only need Carraz to score 1, and I'm sure he will. Okay, Walsh, really keen on him. Warriors playing their last game at home. It's Reece Walsh's game for the Warriors. I think he's going to have a blinder, which will involve him scoring a try. I can picture him doing that sort of swan dive, massive air, huge air, might even sort of wind himself on the landing. But he will ground it for the try, which is all that matters. Peter Hicko.
I'll jump in with Hicko because I took him. Man, he's very juicy odds for a centre in a team that is a 20-point favourite. I mean, some of the wingers for the Cowboys are like $1.50. Jeremiah Nanai is $2 to score and he's the second rower. So I went for the long shot Hicko because sometimes when you're opening up a side, you don't even need to pass to your winger.
Do you know what I love about this? I think it'll annoy people who bought Hicko at the start of the year because he was the guy that everyone bought in round 2 after his performance in round 1, and he'll finish the year on a blinder just like he did had a blinder in the first game. Yeah, there'll be that round 1, round 25 sort of symmetry that you speak of. Now, Ikavalu, my guy, really keen on this guy. He's going to score. I can just feel it. Sharkies are kind of put on a big one, so I think maybe all of them could get a try. The shark bet responsibly. And also, finally, you've locked in Nick Kotrick instead of Rapana, but I've thought about it and I like it. Rapana's been scoring recently and Kotrick is due.
And Kotrick, 1 week we needed him to win the 2 of 3 for us on a Sunday arvo, and he didn't score. He came very close, but they didn't get past the ball. He's back from suspension, so I could really see him coming in and stamping his authority because I think he's the superior player to Rapana right now at the stages in their careers, and he was paying even more. So just to put that up one final time, 5 players. If 3 or more score, it's $2.15. So I reckon we're better than 50-50 to win that. $2.15, have up to 100 on that. But you can also go the juicier option, and you can back both of these. 4 or more is $6 odds. So you said to me, Tim, you want to go out with a bang? And that is Toppy delivering the goods there. Last chance to jump on and use the code TRIPOD. Please let us know if you enjoyed this season or anything you would change or request if we do ever get an opportunity to run it back. But could I just say to you, Tim, it's been a pleasure to chat to you every week and pick your brain. I knew nothing about Supercoach going into this. I've learned a lot. And it's been unreal to go along the journey with you because for you to be the first person, top out of over 100,000 people and back it up and be in the top few hundred people again, which is the top percent is elite, and we've been very fortunate to come along the journey with you. So thanks for having us.
Appreciate it, man. Love it. Thank you. And then you've been giving out winners all year, so keep following Jake.
At least on the back half of the year. So I appreciate that too, mate. And we appreciate everyone who has followed this show along the way. Good luck for the final round. Of course, enjoy the footy finals. We won't be there to join you, but sure, Tim, you'll be on one or two more shows that might even extend beyond next week. And the tripod's going to go through the finals.
I lurk about.
The lurker will be there.
He'll lurk somewhere. So
you'll know where to find us, guys. Good luck with any of your own Supercoach moves or any bets you're putting on this weekend. Always do it responsibly, and we hope we put you in a winning mood.